Hey, happy Monday. It is Rumor and Innuendo, and I am here with W underscore ish.
Still wrong.
What didn't I do?
Remarkable how wrong you consist. First of all, I can't tell if because your last name is D'Angelo, you're allowed to do that over the top Italian accent. Like, hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
I'm going to be creative underscore ISH. I'm Robert Karpolis. He's Dominic D'Angelo. We got a packed 30 minutes of Rumor and Innuendo, but before we get to it, I want to do a couple shout outs to the folks in the chat. Antonio Santos says, happy Monday, y'all. Greg Jacobson, have a great show, fellas. Happy Monday. And Joseph Wade Walters said, good day, mate. Dude watches one Australian premium live event, and now he's Australian. You now love to see it. We love to see all you interacting here live. We are streaming on the SE Scoops X account. We are on WWE Creative underscore ISH. Of course, we're streaming on Podcast Heat, who makes this show possible. Also on the Rumor and Innuendo YouTube. We are not on the Ad Free Shows YouTube live today because they're recording some Jeff Jarrett content. So how dare you, Jarrett? We're coming for you, man. We're coming.
I don't
want to
get hit with the guitar. That's my issue.
Oh yeah, no. You Dom will take the guitar shot. Jeff, I dare you. You crack Dom over the head with that.
Double dog dare you to hit.
It's gonna be gold. It's gonna be Global Force Wrestling gold when you get hit over the head with it. But Dom, what do we got going on today, man?
Oh, let's see here. We got a huge lineup today. There's a little bit of an update on Hangman Page that we kind of heard. Randy Orton, this was a hot topic for me. I got really hot, like literally hearing about this topic.
We'll talk about it there. We're teased. Yep. This is a tease, man. This is what people are picking up the phone, calling their friends.
I just got hot, Robert. Okay. The Rock reveals his SmackDown schedule coming up. But hey, we are going to kick it off as it should be with the Elimination Chamber review and what we thought about it. Very fun show overall. But Robert, I just want to dive right into it. Drew McIntyre and Becky Lynch heading to WrestleMania. What was the big highlight for you in this show? What stood out to you? Big takeaways?
Sure. First big takeaway is we gave our predictions on Friday. We said what we thought was going to happen, and every match went exactly according to plan. And as we have said here, because we hold you, our listeners, to a higher standard than the general wrestling audience out there, you guys understand that when logical booking pays off, it's not a criticism. It's not a detriment. It's not boring. It's them telling a story and paying off that story. Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins, those were the two matches. That's what we've said all along. Those were the two matches that needed to happen, and we got there. And I think that the path that we took gave you a lot of extra stories, a lot of interesting places to go for Mania. That was my big takeaway, Dom. That and a 5 a.m. pay-per-view, premium live event to get up for. Not as difficult as you would think. Maybe it's because I have small kids and I'm used to being up that early. But I kind of like that. I was up by 5, by like 8:30. I'm ready to go start my day.
Would you overall take morning pay-per-views over evening pay-per-views?
Nah, you don't want to get rid of evening pay-per-views, but I don't mind throwing a couple of these a year into the mix. It's kind of fun. It felt different. I like when they did that show in Japan before. It's nice, and it gave our listeners, our viewers in Europe, a chance to kind of watch something at a more normal time. This is the world that they've been living in for years.
Right. Well, look, Mike Malario says, kind of what you were saying, no swerves, bro. Really enjoyed the show, though. What was predictable was fine. And we got the outcomes that really make sense. And I think the matches in themselves, especially the chamber matches in particular, were very captivating in their own right. Like Becky Lynch, she went the distance. Big highlights in that match when it comes to like some stars getting positioned. Like I thought Naomi had a strong showing and was the first even eliminated. But then ultimately, like I think the big show stealer in that bout itself, like if you had to take away from it, was Tiffany Stratton. Like some of the moves that she was capable of doing, it was really a highlight spot for her. And then you ultimately get the story across that Becky Lynch is challenging Rhea Ripley. So a very captivating opening fight, I thought. And I love the Scott Hall tribute that she did, too. So he's my all-time favorite. So it was pretty cool to see that, too. So.
The Scott Hall gear looked very cool. Tiffany Stratton absolutely was the star. We teased that last week that we thought she was going to get a couple opportunities to shine. the way that they were able to jump off the cage and make it look so effortless was really impressive. And it'll be fun to see what happens with some of these other women, because they're going to need something to do. We've talked about maybe they're going to go for the women's tag titles, opportunities to build some personal issues between now and Mania. But Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley is worthy of headlining a WrestleMania. That is, as we've said before, that's a poster match, as is Seth and Drew.
Yes.
Maybe not as sexy, as appealing as some of the others, because we have seen some Seth and Drew matches in the last few months, but it's a different Seth Rollins than what we were dealing with before. This is a guy who's coming back from injury. He's kind of divided in his storytelling, which we'll get to in a minute. And Drew McIntyre has really stepped up his game.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you want to reward talent who, when they're given this opportunity in this new WWE environment of let's see what you can do, they gave Drew the ball and he ran with it.
And that was conveyed in that match itself, like physically, I think. Like, you see those Claymore kicks that he delivered, very crisp, very like emphatic, just felt like a star when he was squaring off against Randy Orton in that final, like, last moments of the match. He felt like he should have been there. Very much a big aspect of that whole show, I thought, was Drew McIntyre. Real quick, what was your takeaways in the elements of that match? There's some interesting stuff set up when it comes to, like, you know, maybe Logan Paul and Randy Orton, some other stuff, like Kevin Owens just having a good showing, Bobby Lashley with that big spot. What were your thoughts on there, Robert?
AJ Styles flew an awfully long distance for one chair shot. You got to love that. But you've set up LA Knight, AJ Styles. You know, when we've kind of hypothesized and teased out WrestleMania cards, and I took steps back and looked at it, I had thought we were going to get an Orton-AJ match as a personal issue coming out of Chamber, and LA Knight, Logan Paul. The way they're going, I'm not mad at it. I think Orton and Logan Paul, very attractive match. Logan Paul costing Orton his opportunity, even though it's a no disqualification match. I get it, guys. The law degree is finally coming in handy here, but you've set up a personal issue with Orton and Logan Paul, which is a really fun Mania tease. You're going to get some good promos out of that. LA Knight, AJ Styles. That's a fun interpersonal match. I think Logan Paul, LA Knight could have worked, but LA Knight has cooled off in the last couple months. He's come back down to earth. AJ will get a great match out of him. What was really interesting is Drew McIntyre, LA Knight, Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles. Big night for TNA guys. Big yeah, night for like folks that were under the TNA umbrella and then transition over to WWE or came back to WWE. And they looked incredible. Drew looked like an absolute monster coming out of that show. But the interesting kind of other aspect of this is Seth is focused on two different storylines at once, Dom.
Yeah, it's, you know, you set him up as a major star doing that, I think, too, because he's got the world title, obviously, to worry about. But then he's involved in the biggest storyline going on in wrestling at the moment with Cody, The Rock, Roman Reigns, The Bloodline, all that stuff. So I think it's just they're really setting up the road to WrestleMania to be pretty darn engaging this upcoming. And real quick before we move on, I just want to say too, like, Logan Paul gets it, man. Like, I think the coolest aspect, my favorite aspect even of that match, is when he entered and then he got into the face of Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens started headbutting the door or whatever. And like, Logan Paul is freaked out. He looks scared. And you want a heel to act like that. And it was just a cool takeaway from a guy that's relatively new to it all. So it's pretty
That neat. Was great. His work with the Sharpie inside the cage, writing on the glass between the Telestrator last week and the Sharpie. We used to know Vince's like on-screen picadillos. I think Hunter's big thing apparently is guys writing on screens. This like, it's like the old when he would spray paint DX onto cameras and buildings. This is kind of his production kink. We're seeing it in full force. And I think that Logan Paul, really interesting production wise. A couple key takeaways here. First, I love the cameras and the audio in the chamber. I love the way they shot the matches. I love the wide shots from the top of the stadium to see this, the just the massive nature of that building. But one of the criticisms, rightfully so, the length of this show could have been probably cut in half if you removed all the commercials and you removed all the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why you need that. First of all, when you're on Peacock as part of that Peacock deal, there's a number of tiers. You have to have advertising at one of the, I think it's like the $5 tier. You pay for advertising, $10 ad free. Like we're here on ad free shows. Nice, right. Nice seamless double plug there. But your other option is to put commercials in the middle of matches. And that would kill it for people who are paying for a tier of Peacock. You don't want to cause a backlash there. The constant Perth promotion is because a lot of the money from this comes from the travel and tourism division, and they want to see a return on their investment. And the pitch is the wrestling fans, like Joseph earlier using his G'day, are going to watch this and be like, you know what I'm going to do for my next vacation? I was going to go to Cleveland, but to hell with it. I'm flying to Perth, Australia, because that's an easy shift, but it works. It's sort of a necessary evil. It's a little, I don't know, clunky and uncomfortable, but guys, we want to make sure that you're less clunky. I was going to say, I'm seamlessly transitioning here, Dom. I'm making you aware. We're transitioning to Blue Chew because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is an online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night. Some of you may have taken it at 5 o'clock in the morning. You got up for chamber, and you were ready to go during all those long commercial breaks. You guys can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And by opportunity, we mean penis. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of our licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package. As Conrad likes to say, there's nothing discreet about your package. Blue Chew wants to help you, yes, you, have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you, Blue Chew. And hey, Joseph himself says it too. I've been up since Saturday morning, thanks to Rumor. Thank you.
Good on you, man. Not the kind of information we necessarily wanted to know about Joseph Wade Walters, but I feel a little closer to him now. Right. And based on the fact that he may have taken a Blue Chew, I'm kind of glad I'm not that much closer to him.
We got closer, though, Robert, to WrestleMania, and that all.
Look at you. Look, I'm so proud of you.
All you're taking
the mantle of weird transitions. You're wearing it like a Charlie Brown t-shirt that you're wearing right now.
Living the gimmick, baby.
You are living the gimmick, dude. We're on the road to Mania. Where are you taking us, man?
I am taking you to that segment real quick on Elimination Chamber between Seth, Cody, Grayson Waller, and Austin Theory. We got some stuff set up. Seth revealed that he's going to be in a few days being cleared to wrestle. And then Cody issues a one-on-one challenge to The Rock. Where do you see this taking form there, Robert?
All right. I had said if you needed to do a Rock match, I would rather do a Rock-Cody one-on-one match than a tag match.
Yep.
Seth talking about cutting off heads of snakes and having his back and all that. You could still do the one-on-one match. You could still do Rock versus Cody. That's another great poster match. It's an opportunity for The Rock to have a singles marquee main event match and also allow for the world title match the next night. It opens up the door for Bloodline to attack Rollins and injure him going into his match with Drew. A lot of different moving parts going on here. It'll be intriguing to see where we line up or where we land. I think we will get Rock and Cody in some capacity. Tag match feels like the safest option still, as much as I vehemently dislike the idea of the tag match, and other former writers that I've talked to have the same feeling I do, which is I don't want to see Roman and Cody touch the night before.
Right.
I want to save that special moment for the main event of Mania. They're keeping them separate. You're not allowing those guys to really interact directly, utilizing Solo, utilizing Jimmy, letting Heyman cut promos. A lot of opportunities here. And Cody calling out Rock now puts the onus on Rock, who I believe is on SmackDown this week, Dom.
That's correct. Yeah, he's set up for a whole lineup here coming up for the next 3 weeks, to be a matter of fact. But yeah, SmackDown takes place in Arizona this Friday. He'll be there. Then the week after that, he'll be in Dallas, Texas, home of WrestleMania 38 on March 8th. And then finishing it up for right now in Memphis, Tennessee on March 15th, where Rock really got a lot of his start. So pretty interesting. But I'm with you, Robert. I want to ultimately see Cody and Roman not touch till that one-on-one match. And then in addition to that, I think it feels more significant if The Rock is in a one-on-one match. And, you know, I think Cody would be able to kind of compliment Rock in a good way in the ring, because Cody is seasoned and constantly wrestles while The Rock hasn't wrestled in forever. So that, I think, makes more sense. I think it's more engaging too for the aspect of maybe just Seth being in his corner strictly for that. And then you can set all that up, you know, in a build to maybe McIntyre too, maybe night two, however they lay out WrestleMania weekend. I think it opens up for a lot of cool elements going on there,
Robert. It does. It'd be interesting if Rock winds up beating Cody because of all the outside whatever. And then if Roman fails, now you have that power struggle within the bloodline of Rock saying, Roman, you dropped the ball. Last time we had that, X-Pac wind up showing up. But you never know. This could open the door to bring in some new members of the bloodline. There's been some folks buzzing around, teasing. Maybe you're going to bring in a Tama Tonga from New Japan. I think that would be kind of interesting to see where he winds up.
Jacob Fatu is another
Jacob name. Jacob Fatu is the other name I was going to bring up. Love Jacob Fatu. Yeah, awesome. Fun little Easter egg when he was first in MLW. Stokely Hathaway and I managed him.
Really?
One of the only times I ever did anything on camera was I was Stokely's lawyer for this situation with Jacob Fatu. And super nice guy, but when he gets fired up, terrifying.
Stay clear.
Absolutely terrifying. Hell of an in-ring performer. A lot of cool opportunities there. But something interesting with The Rock, his reveals of where he's going to be, only on SmackDown, showing a lot of love for Fox, who's not going to have WWE programming come October. You know, right. USA is going to be the new home of SmackDown. I would have spread the wealth a little bit. I would have put Rock on USA, go with the folks that you're sticking with. But I guess he feels he wants to be on the largest audience possible. It's Fox. It's a big show. Kind of interesting the way they've revealed that.
That's a good point too, Robert. Yeah.
That's what I'm here for, man. Just good points every once in a while. Like a blind squirrel.
No way to really transition into this one seamlessly.
You can do it. I believe in you, Dom. We all believe in Dom.
You're immediately going to realize it's Becky Lynch and Kevin Owens commenting on the Vince McMahon allegations.
Oh, jeez. All right. nope. I can't come up with a good transition to it. Let's we'll go quickly to actually, I just want to point this out real fast, because the Weird Al of Wrestling Figure Collecting said Rock going to cities with UFL teams. I don't, if that's the idea and there's synergy there, man, that's fantastic. I love it. What I do love is a number of the wrestlers, both male and female, have been given an opportunity to comment on the Vince McMahon allegations. It doesn't feel as though the company is suppressing their ability to speak their mind, say what they think. And I think both Kevin Owens and Becky Lynch had some very thoughtful responses. Dom, I'll let you field the reading comprehension part of today's show.
Absolutely. Okay, so Becky Lynch spoke to Inside the Ropes while over there in Perth. And she said, I've been fortunate in my career that I've always felt supported by the company. These allegations are horrible. It's hard to reconcile as a talent and as a woman. But my experience in WWE has only ever been amazing. And then she went on to mention about kind of being a woman in the earlier days of WWE and the NXT and kind of making her own way. And she says, yes, in the beginning, there were some restrictions put on things. We couldn't punch. We had to hair pull. There were weird things there. Being able to push us forward, push women forward. I'm very grateful for that and the opportunity to even have my family, this company, and some of these things are hard to reconcile. It's just a tough position for all these superstars and talents to kind of convey what they think. And, you know, she did a very good job, I think.
It's very tough because, again, there is that relationship that these talents have with Vince. He is the Walt Disney of this world. He has given them platforms and opportunities. Becky Lynch, before her time in WWE, she's written a book talking about her struggles of just trying to get into the industry. Kevin Owens is another one who I've seen Kevin wrestle in high school gyms in front of 30 people. And then he's out there main eventing WrestleMania. He's living his dreams, living his dream alongside his best friend. Not a lot of people thought that was ever going to happen. What were Kevin's comments?
So, yes, he spoke with Daily Mail, I believe Alex McCarthy of Daily Mail, and he said, everything that has come out is awful, just terrible. There's really no words to describe how sad this makes me feel. If the people spoke out, went through what they went through, that's terrible. It's shameful, and it can't ever happen again. That's what it comes down to. So another really good forthright comments, and just, yeah, speaking his mind about it. And yeah, to your point, like WWE has not, you know, put the handcuffs on these wrestlers from addressing it how they want to.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they all have to be able to talk about it in their own way. It's tough. It's tough for us as fans who've grown up loving the WWE product to try to separate art from artist and kind of reconcile with this notion of if these allegations are true, and you have to put that asterisk right now of if they're horrible and there should be a reckoning from them. Just, you know, personally, anecdotally, getting to meet Vince McMahon the very first time I did was at that point one of the, you know, real highlights of my professional life when he came down the stairs and I had a chance to shake his hand and introduce myself and say, I'm going to be part of this organization. That was huge. There are like three or four guys on my Mount Rushmore of creative forces. And Vince was definitely one of them. So getting a chance to interact and see with him was like, this is a moment I'm going to get to tell my grandkids. Now, a lot less so. I think, you know, one of the other guys on that list would be Stan Lee, comic creator. This is where our segue into other comic related properties.
Oh my gosh, Robert, you lost me because I don't know where we're going here.
I'll feel it. John Cena announced, yes, season two of Peacemaker.
Maybe write it down, but I didn't.
It's all right. Season two of Peacemaker coming out. One of the few, I don't want to get the Snyderverse people coming after me, but you know what? One of the few things that DC has released in the last 8 or 9 years that really worked. I think Peacemaker was a really fun show. It's really worth watching. It highlights just John Cena's goofy earnestness and love of vulgarity mixed together perfectly. So thrilled there's going to be a season two. Really excited about that update. But Dom, where else do you want to take us, since clearly my seamless transition was not as seamless as I had hoped?
Well, I was a fan of the Watchmen of the DC Snyder Universe. I know that's past the 8 year point, but I like that movie a lot. Yes. Where did I want to take you? Was Hangman Page. It seems like a touch and go situation, according to Sean Ross Sapp on Fightful. How they made it seem on the closing of Dynamite, you know, made it think like he was hurt. Then you hear it's a work. Then you hear it's maybe not. And so here it is. Here's the quote from Sean. There is a sort of touch and go situation that may see him ending up not being able to work the Revolution show. And if that's the case, then they can use this as a reason. The hope is that he'll be good to go for it as well. But it was carefully crafted work and well done. Robert, we kind of expressed our opinions on the angle itself and what it is. I'm kind of sick of these injuries, like, is it a work, is it not a work kind of thing, blurring that lines. And I think it leans into the aspect of what's constantly wrong with AEW is, like, there's a lot of injuries that occur. And why are you leaning into that aspect of another top star potentially being injured for a headline show that you're going to have here this weekend that showcases Sting? So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
you're trying to sell pay-per-view buys at this point. The show, I think, is almost entirely sold out. If there's any tickets left, it's like a couple singles floating around somewhere. Like, they are showing up in droves for this show. The idea is, whether you're ordering this on pay-per-view or wherever else it may be streaming, I don't know if it's on Bleacher Report, Fight, wherever it is, the idea is you're tuning in because you want to see this triple threat main event as well as see Sting's last match. If Hangman is not going to be a part of that match, it does change the dynamic. Is it going to change somebody's opinion as to whether or not they're going to order the show? Teasing an injury angle that wasn't forthright on air, but instead was played out in rumor and innuendo and dirt sheets and all that, you're creating unnecessary distrust and noise. If there's an extenuating reason why Hangman is not able to participate in the show, okay. We don't know what that is. We don't know if it's a family issue, a scheduling issue. We're not entirely sure. We're in a new era of wrestling where we as fans accept that these guys have lives and there's potential conflicts. Bronson Reed tweeted out that he was not at the Elimination Chamber show. His wife gave birth. So congratulations to big Bronson Reed.
Yep.
So much so that Triple H congratulated him on it, something that would have been unheard of. So if there's a potential personal issue going on with Hangman that he can't be there, we're going to understand. If you're teasing injury angles for it, that's a lot less so. That's a lot murkier. But, you know, it is what it is. And we don't want anybody to get injured. We don't want anybody trying wrestling moves at home, Dom. Not that I'm segueing you into another topic or anything.
Robert, this like infuriated me, this next topic.
It's going to come out of nowhere.
Right. Come out of nowhere. It's I don't know if you've seen the video, but Randy Orton ended up condemning this video of this guy going around literally RKOing people in New York City, in Brooklyn, I believe it was. And just there's just clips of it. And Randy Orton made this tweet after seeing it. Bring the punt kick back and give him a good old case of CTE you later, plus 5 years in prison for assault. When I watched this video, I was I got very angry because I'm just like, these poor people have no idea what's going on. You haven't heard the first guy go, ow, my knee. And like, this guy is, you know, don't try this at home, but this guy is just leaning into this aspect of being one, wanting to make buzz on social media and stuff like that. And it's just, this guy should go to prison. It's like assault. It's assault.
It is assault. Literally the definition of assault and battery. The definition of battery is the harmful or offensive contact to the person of another. There you go. 3 years of law school flex right there. I would say getting RKO'd by a stranger would be a harmful or offensive contact. It is a very dangerous move. You can hurt somebody. You could break somebody's neck doing this. You could hurt their knee. You could absolutely cause your, don't touch other people to begin with. I think that's across the board. More importantly, don't be out there doing wrestling moves on people. Like, that is, we have seen a lot of injuries where folks have done wrestling moves, professionals in the ring. You think immediately of Steve Austin and Owen Hart and the pile driver, probably done that move 1,000 times. You have one off moment, one off second, someone breaks their neck. Obviously, you know, D'Lo Brown and draws. And these are, again, professionals in a wrestling ring who know what they're doing in a cooperative manner. When you're trying to RKO someone in a non-cooperative nature, you're really going to hurt them. I hope this guy goes to jail for a long, long time, Dom.
I agree. I was so mad. And I don't blame Randy Orton for, you know, condemning that and not, because he's an adult. He's a father. He's got kids.
The best.
Yeah, he is the best. And it's just like, I want Randy Orton to have a punt kick this guy. So cool. Hey, I'm going to punt kick some plugs to you. Robert, what do you got going on, man?
You can hear my other podcast, Wrestle Roast, which is up now. For our Patreon and Wrestle Roast, they waited until we actually did the show for me to read the Observer Awards. On this show, I don't use strong language. I don't use profanity. We like the family friendly environment here. BlueChew.com promo code Rumor. But on that particular Patreon, you're gonna hear a moment where my brain snaps and the words that come out of my mouth are not meant for a general audience. You can also follow me on Twitter at WWCreative_ISH. Eventually, Dom is going to figure out what it is. And thank you for everyone that supports us on all the various platforms we are streaming. I will always ask, go on the iTunes, the Spotify. They're up a 5-star review. We love to see it. We love to read it, just like we love all your comments. Excited for you guys are going to be joining us tomorrow. But Dom, before then, where else can the fine folks find you?
Absolutely. Yeah, as you can see down below, you can follow me on Twitter, X at Dominic D'Angelo. But hey, today, big episode of One of a Kind with RVD drops at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Special guest Sabu, and we cover RVD's recent appearance on AEW Dynamite, but then we cover the history between Rob and Sabu and himself and what his future plans are, having a last match and all that stuff. It's going to be it's a great episode, amazing episode, 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then tomorrow, be sure to check out Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. We spotlight Bruiser Brody, but we also cover current event topics too. We go over the Power Town figures, a lot of fun. Go to GagneandMagnum.com. Go to RVDTV.com. And there you go, guys. What a Monday. What a way to kick off Monday. We're going to get the preview
Raw. That's going to be a fun show, that Bruiser show. Not an episode to listen to in the shower, guys. But anywhere else, you'll enjoy it. You'll dig it. We hope that you dig what we're doing here, and you come back tomorrow at noon Eastern. So on behalf of the amused Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck. Your future endeavors.
Snoopy for life.